Well, Dan, your friend Tom Pinson is here, and we're looking forward to this hour. Tom is the assistant director of athletics at Central Connecticut State University, and you've got us on television.
Yes, Brad, we're on our Facebook page. This important hour about social media is on social media, so go to facebook.com/talkofct, facebook.com/talkofct if you'd like to watch this, and you can even weigh in with some questions by way of Facebook. But Tom Pinson's, as you mentioned, assistant AD at Central Connecticut State University, is in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, and he also has a website, and this is what we talk about with social media. His website is takethisplayoff.com. Tom, good morning and welcome to Brad.
Good morning,
and Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's start with that. Talk about the website, takethisplayoff.com. What does it mean?
Well, the website is really just a way to get a hold of me if you need to, have me come out and talk to your students or student-athletes about the dangers and the do's and the don'ts about social media. It's a play off the what I mentioned during my talk is that you always have to be on your game nowadays, is that everywhere you go, somebody has a camera or a video camera, and they're waiting for you to do something, and they can't wait to document it, whether that's good or bad. So what I started doing was talking to the student-athletes mostly about taking a play off, because we tell our student-athletes you can't take a play off. If you make a mistake and you take this play off, somebody's going to score. If you don't defend this guy, he's going to score a basket. If you don't defend this guy, he's going to score a touchdown. So we started to say take this play off, meaning when things get emotional, when you get upset, when you get angry, when you get stressed, take that play off. Put your phone down. Wait 5 or 10 minutes, and then you can react to it. Because you're not thinking clearly that first 5 or 10 minutes, and the chances that you make a bad decision are very high at that moment.
You know, Tom, when you came in here and we were talking, my friends, about eating out, okay? And you know what really drives me crazy. And it happens all the time when I told you about the story. I go out to eat, and there's a mother, a father, and 2 children. They're not talking. They're all on the media. They're all, you know, it's unbelievable. And Tom... Tom was talking about it when you take your family out to dinner. And I just like to have you tell my listeners, our listeners, that.
My wife and I, it's one of our big pet peeves is that, you know, when you go to eat at a restaurant, like you mentioned, and I'm sure you talk about it all the time, is that people don't talk to each other anymore, and they don't sit at a table, and they don't have a conversation. But more importantly, they're allowed to walk in with headphones or, you know, to watch a show, or, I mean, they have contraptions that, you know, you have the Facebook camera, but people will bring that into the restaurant and hook it up for their kids so they
kidding?
Can watch.
Sure.
And they'll hook it on the high chairs as early and young as kids are at that point in time. And, you know, I mentioned my 3 daughters, and the reason I got into this really was because of my 3 daughters. And Dan and I have known each other for so long. I'm not sure he met my daughters the other night at the Yarcoats game for the first time. Yeah. They're 13, 11, and 8 years old. So this stuff hits home to me, and that's why it's important. But when we go to a restaurant, they're required to order their own food, and they have to. I'm not going to do it for them. They're old enough. They can do it. They can read. They can talk. And the reaction from the waiters and the waitresses is always the shock that they will talk to them, that they don't have their head in a phone. And if anything, they're just playing with the crayons and the kids' menus that they got or something along those lines. And more than a few times at the end of the meal, the waiter or waitress has walked up and just said, "I just have to tell you that your kids were great and they talked," and, you know, and it's not me tooting my own horn as a parent, but I mean, it's for my kids to be able to sit down and have a conversation with somebody. And
absolutely,
you know, this comes back to the social media stuff that we talk about. And I went to a panel up at the Gilbert School once with my oldest daughter, who's 13. And we walked in, and it was me, and it was a state trooper, and it was a few principals from that area. And she sat down right in the middle, and people asked her questions, and she sat there and she answered, because she doesn't spend all her time with her nose in her phone and doing all that kind of stuff. So it was pretty great. But it is absolutely one of my ultimate pet peeves that when you go in and there's 5 people,
my top peeve,
all five have their own screen.
Exactly. Yeah, it's particularly you see a couple perhaps on a first date and there they are buried in their smartphones. It's crazy. But now. So this got started as obviously part of your position as assistant AD at Central to instruct and inform the student athlete about some of the do's and don'ts on social media. So take it from there.
Right. And this is not a don't use social media talk, because it's the way that a lot of these kids communicate nowadays. You know, it started way back when with letters, and then it went to, you know, we used the phone to talk to each other, and then it became email, and then we started texting, and now they use Snapchat to talk to each other, where it's really, you know, it's too much for them to text each other. They just do a quick snap and they send it to each other, and that's how they talk and communicate, and that's fine. And that's the way we've developed, and that's how this has evolved, and that's perfectly fine to use social media. There's nothing wrong with it. What we're trying to do is help them make good decisions when it comes to using social media, and understanding that when they put something out there, it's out there for good. When they send a picture, they lose complete control of that picture. And it's important for them and their brand and their image and their future that they keep control of that kind of stuff and not post, you know, quickly and when they're emotional and angry and stressed and upset, and to make good decisions when it comes to social media. So the making good decisions is something that I harp on all the time. We created the hashtag Think, which I, you know, stole from somebody at some point in time, I'm sure, which means that before you post, think. Ask yourself, is what I'm about to post true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, or kind? And if you can't answer yes, then it's probably not something that you should post.
Now, you actually texted me an example of someone who sent out a picture out of impetus and probably regrets it. Talk about that.
Over the weekend, there was a girls' Little League softball team in Washington that was playing for a national championship. So they won their semifinal game, and they won 1-0 in a game that was considered pretty contentious, and there were some issues that happened during the game and some unsportsmanlike things that maybe happened on both sides. And after the game, six of those players from the winning team, who was then going to go on to play for the national championship, sent a Snapchat, and the six of them are given the middle finger to the camera, and
wow,
they make a comment to the host team about the game that had just happened. Somebody sees it. Somebody takes a screenshot of it, right? Because kids think on Snapchat, you send the Snapchat, and then once somebody looks at it, it's gone, and nobody can see it, and it's gone forever. But somebody took a screenshot of it. Somebody sent it to the people from Little League International, and that team was kicked out of the tournament. They had an opportunity to play for a national championship.
Can you imagine?
There you go.
They were going to be on ESPN, but instead they got kicked out of the tournament.
Wow. Well,
okay, we'll pick up on all of this.
So glad that you're with us. Tom Pinsent, Assistant Director of Athletics at Central Connecticut State University, but he does much more than that. Much more than that.
Okay, Brad, joining us again, Tom Pinsent. We're talking about social media, how he goes around to various schools now. And if you have any questions, you can give us a call, 888-574-2723. So, Tom, did this start, you actually sat down with the student athletes at Central and went over a policy, or how did this work?
We had somebody come in and talk to our student athletes about 5 years ago, and when it was over, my assistant and I, at the time, and I kind of looked at each other and said, you know what, we can do this. You know, we can talk to our student athletes about making good decisions on social media every day. Like, we don't necessarily need to bring somebody in. And when we were doing it and putting it together and developing this program, we realized that at 18 to 22 years old, they probably all already developed the bad habits, and it was going to be really tough to change the way that they were using social media. We're still going to do it, but it was going to be really hard. So I've, you know, thought about it and figured, you know, we need to talk to younger kids. We need to get in touch with younger kids and try to help them make better decisions when it comes to using social media. So I put together a program. I reached out to my old athletic director. I grew up in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, and I reached out to my old athletic director, and I said, hey, I have an idea. You know, I will come and do it. You know, I'm not going to charge you any money or anything, but I just want to try this out, and I want to see how it works. And so we put together a program. I went back to Woonsocket, and we stood in front of the student athletes that were there, and there were a couple hundred, and there were some parents, and we put it together, and the feedback was just phenomenal. Now, the presentation itself at that point in time, I don't think was very good, but the feedback was phenomenal. And I learned, you know, more that day than I did, you know, leading up to that day. And I do everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, someone comes up and tells me a story, or, you know, lets me know something that happened to them, or, you know, gives me a better idea or a better way to present something. The one thing I say is I'm not an expert on this stuff, because it changes every single day. I know more than most people because I've done the research, because I, you know, use this every day. But I'm not an expert in the sense that, you know, I have every single answer. And it developed from there. I had a friend at Simsbury High School who was the athletic director, and he called me in to talk to there. And, you know, I reached out to athletic directors and throughout the state. It started with student athletes, and then finally somebody said, hey, you know, this is great for our student athletes, but how about the rest of my students? So we started doing whole school assemblies, and it's really taken off from there.
And that's great.
In the last years, it started with me bugging people to come and talk to their students. It's gotten to the point now where I haven't sent out an email to ask anybody to do it in a long time because my phone tends to ring. And it's, you know, when there's problems and people think, like, well, who can we talk to? Hopefully my name comes up and hopefully people contact me. And
are you surprised, just listening to you, I am a little bit, but not a lot, what has happened with not only young people, but everybody with this social media? I mean, you stop behind a school bus, the kids are getting out, and nobody's talking to each other. They're all on the phones. I just can't understand it. I mean, are they that lonely? Is lonely a big part of this?
It could be, and there's different studies that go into, you know, whether it leads to, you know, because loneliness and depression and you know, leading kids to be isolated in their rooms with their phones instead of having real relationships with people. And it, you know, they differ back and forth on the importance of it and you know, what's really affecting their brains. And you know, it's affecting sleep. You know, a high school student should average about 9 hours of sleep a night, and the studies show they're getting about 7 because they sleep with their phones by their beds or under their pillows, or they wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, they need to immediately look at their phones and see if somebody sent them a Snapchat or a text. We have a rule in my house: at 7:30, the phones go in one area of the house and they stay there. They're not allowed in the bedrooms at that point in time. They can't take them in. If they need an alarm clock, we'll buy an alarm clock. You can actually use a real alarm clock instead of your phone. But it's funny because, you know, you get so dependent on it. And I'm guilty of it, too. My phone is right by my bed. And for me, I use the excuse that it's because of work. If something happens overnight with one of our student athletes and I need to know about it, then I need my phone to be there. The one night I put it on silent, I looked at 3 a.m. in the morning and there were texts and phone calls that I had missed. So I'm guilty of it, too. But I hope that my wife and I set a good example for my daughters in that, you know, 7:30, here's where the phones go. You know, not allowed in your bedrooms, and they shouldn't be. And, you know, you need about an hour of no screen time before you go to bed so that your brain kind of shuts itself off. And, you know, the difference between watching TV before you go to bed and reading a book before you go to bed, you know, helps with that sleep at night. So, is it a problem? You know, I'm not sure I like to use the word problem. It's an epidemic in that everyone is, you know, constantly looking at their phones. It's created something called text neck, which doctors have to deal with now because, you know, people's heads are going like that all the time and, you know, facing their phones. So they're creating neck problems. And so there's all sorts of issues out there. But you know what? It's not going anywhere. Social media is not going away. So we need to learn to educate our students and our kids about how to use it safely and how to make good decisions every day.
Now, you mentioned before when you go out and speak, after your presentation, sometimes people will come up and relate stories to you. What are some of those stories?
Well, the high school student is not going to ask questions in front of their peers. So, you know, it could be in a room of 300 kids who, and I think I do a pretty good job of keeping their attention. Dan knows me very well. I'm very straightforward. I'm very to the point. I can, you know, I don't pull many punches, and my kids will tell you the same thing. I'm honest. Sometimes you lose their attention a little bit if you throw an off-color word out there every once in a while. They'll all peek up and you know, start paying attention again. But they're not going to ask questions in front of their peers because they don't want to look like they don't know what's going on, or that they, you know, they think they should know something about Snapchat or Instagram or Twitter, but they won't ask those questions in front of their friends. So they'll wait. And then when I'm finished and I say, hey, I will stay here as long as you need me to stay here, I will try to answer your questions. If I don't have the answer, I'll try to figure it out and get back to you and let you know. But some of the stories are, you know, one of the biggest things that I tell the kids within their apps on their phones is that they should have their location enabling option off because people don't need to know where you are at all times. But kids don't like to understand that, and they feel like their friends need to know where they are. So I've heard a couple stories about people who have been stalked by people they don't know. through social media because they can see where they are and they know where they are. When they post something, it says their location.
Wow.
They create a pattern of posting so that people know where they are at certain points and certain times of day. It's my firm belief that you should know everyone who follows you on social media, but students don't do that necessarily. They're more interested in the number of people that follow them, and they can say, well, I have 2,500 people that follow me, or I have 5,000 people who follow me. And you try to explain to them that at 13, 14, 15 years old, you don't know 5,000 people. And if you think that all those people are who they say they are, then you're wrong, because people pretend to be people they're not on social media. So, again, it's not about not using it. It's about using it safely and effectively and making good decisions.
But it really has affected the young people, but it's also affected adults.
Oh, yeah.
I see adults after adults. They walk right by you and almost walk into a car.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe it.
I was at New Britain High School yesterday, and we've been doing a program with the Extreme program at New Britain, with the New Britain Consolidated School Districts. And it's kids who are in middle school transitioning into high school. I'm there to talk about social media. Well, we spent the first 20 minutes talking about how to communicate with each other without using a phone. We spend the first 10 minutes without talking. We do this silly little exercise with puzzles, and they learn how to communicate and how important it is to communicate first just by using eye contact and maybe hand signals or something along those lines, and then using their voices for the final 10 minutes without a phone, actually talking to one another, because they don't do it. And they don't, you know, they'll sit in the same room and text with each other back and forth instead of talking to each other.
Yeah.
But again, it's not about not using social media. It's about learning to use it safely and privately and effectively.
Well, you told me something the other night, and we're going to pick up on this following the news at the bottom of the hour, which I think is very interesting, because it goes to, like you mentioned earlier, part of the root issue of this and acknowledging the fact that social media exists, and you're not going to do away with it. So how do you handle it? So we'll pick up on that story in just a bit, Brad. We're coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Coming up to 7:30, news time, and we're going to check news in back with a very, very special guest, a big subject, probably one of the most important in the country now among people. Tom Pinson, Assistant Director of Athletics at Central Connecticut State University, and he's out in the community trying to talk some sense back into us. Really.
I like it. Sense with Pinsense.
Yes,
By
yes.
By the way, go to Tom's website during the break, takethisplayoff.com. Check it out. And we're also on Facebook, talking to social media, facebook.com/talkofct. You can watch this interview in addition to listening to it on the radio.
News, weather, traffic, politics with Brad and Dan. This is the Brad and Dan Show on the Talk of Connecticut.
And my friends, the Talk of Connecticut, Channel 3 early warning weather, mostly sunny and warm, but not as humid again. Going to be a pretty nice day, the high near 86. And tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, lows around 61. Tomorrow, partly sunny and warm, a little more humid, the highs near 85. And let's see. We got South Windsor at 62, Avon at 61, Hartford and Waterbury at 63 degrees. A very special guest this morning, Tom Pinsent. He's the Assistant Director of Athletics at Central Connecticut State University, and he is around speaking, and it's all about what is happening today to young people, to folks that are older. Everybody is on what they call this special media.
Social media, bro.
There it is.
That's it.
The big name. The big name.
888-574-2723 is our telephone number. We'll take phone calls. Tom is in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Tom, the other night we were talking about this, and you mentioned you've got to frame your presentation in such a way where it's not always don't, because that's going to serve as a vehicle for particularly the student listening to your message to go about and do. Explain that.
What I try to tell everyone at the beginning of the presentation is that I sat in your chair. You know, it's 20 years ago now, or I'll be out of high school 25 years this upcoming spring. But we had people who always came in and talked to us, and the message was, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, which works for some messages. However, when you stand up there and say, you know, don't use social media or don't tweet or don't post on Instagram or don't use Snapchat, it's just not the reality. And it's not going to happen. So the more you tell them not to do something, the more they want to do it. So we try to look for ways in which they can use it positively, talk to them about branding themselves in a way that makes them appealing to potential employers, to potential colleges that they want to go to, because, you know, a lot of HR and companies and employers are going to use social media and use the web to figure out who they want to hire, whether that's somebody they want to be part of their company. And also colleges are going to make decisions about whether you get in or not based on what you do on social media. So
wow,
the numbers are somewhere around 60 to 70% of universities are using social media to help determine whether you can get in or not.
60 to 70%?
Yeah. So it's not every applicant. You know, but it may come down to, you know, if you have a few applicants at the end and who should get in and who shouldn't, and they're trying to figure out how and who they want there, they'll go onto social media and look for it. And, you know, unfortunately, mistakes that you made in high school and in college can come back to haunt you later on, especially when it comes to the workforce. And, you know, I know that when we're looking for people and, you know, we hired an assistant and a graduate intern a couple of years ago, and you know, you see their name and you have a pool of 100 people, and it's how do you whittle this down? And, you know, let's see what I can find out about this person before we bring them in, and what type of person are they before we bring them in for an interview. So, you know, it's interesting, to say the least. And, you know, unfortunately, it can be really damaging if you make that one mistake.
Okay, let's go to the phones, Brad and Tom.
Mark in West Hartford on the internet.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Tom, recently I restructured my internet service. I actually went from a high speed to a lower speed. I've got two college kids and a high school kid. So three boys have been on their devices for a few years now, and all I see them really on is social media and gaming. They play a lot of games. And, you know, I was paying extra. I go past my allotted time, so I said, you know what, I'll just go low speed. Recently, the Hartford Current, the mayor, and some community leaders are trying to say the inner city, especially in Hartford, the students, there's this big educational gap of success because of the lack of high-speed internet. Now, going by what I observed in my own home, I think it's a bunch of BS. Would you agree with me that high school students, we're going high school age, not college, but they're saying in our inner city that the city somehow needs to provide high-speed internet for these kids so they'll be successful in school? I don't buy it.
It's a little bit beyond what I deal with on a daily basis, but what I'll tell you is that, you know, my kids, even at the middle school level, and I live in West Hartford, at the middle school level, are doing more and more, you know, through their Chromebooks and homework on their Chromebooks every single night. So, you know, we certainly have to have it in my house. Whether it has to be high speed or low speed, I'm not sure that really makes a difference. You know, in my house, we don't have cable. We're a cable-free household, believe it or not. But they do watch, you know, through the internet, whether it's, you know, we have something called Sling TV and Netflix and Amazon, where we can watch our stuff. So the access, I believe, certainly needs to be there. What speed it is, I'm not sure whether that...
that's my point. So you kind of answered my question. I think you can get by on an educational level with any speed, you know, so it might take you a little bit longer, but you still can still use it. Okay, thank you very much for taking the call.
Mark, thanks for the call. But that would lead me to ask the following question. Not trying to get political here, but are those high school age kids in the inner city, they're not being denied social media, are they? I mean, I'm sure they're on social media too, I would guess.
I've been everywhere from I was in Ridgefield last fall, and as I mentioned, I've been in New Britain the last couple times this week, and the access to social media and using of social media is everywhere. So it didn't matter if I was in Ridgefield and they had their iPhone 7s, and, you know, I was in New Britain and I asked them to pull their phones out of their pockets, and, you know, 95% of them had an iPhone that they pulled out of their pocket.
Can you imagine? You know, 95%.
It's amazing. And as I mentioned to Dan earlier, is that I went to an elementary school for the first time this past spring, and there were third, fourth, and fifth graders at this elementary school. And when I asked how many used social media, half of them raised their hand at third, third, fourth, and fifth
grade. Think about that for just a moment. Third, fourth, and fifth. So we're talking third grade is how old is that? That's 7, 8 years old?
It's eight. I have a third. My eight-year-old will be in third grade.
So eight-year-olds are on social media?
Yes.
And you have to be a certain age, a minimum age, to get on social media. So how are they getting on?
The minimum age for most of them is 13 years old. But it's just a matter of putting in a birth date and a, you know, a phone number and an email. And
so they're savvy enough at eight. Or maybe they get their 13-year-old sister to help out, but they're savvy enough.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My 8-year-old certainly is.
Wow. This is incredible.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here. Say, my friends, we're going to take just a break. You know, we all know that the best time, really, to make important plans in life is before the need arises. But who wants to think about funerals or any estate issue, for that matter? Well, as hard as it might seem for all of us, just consider how much more difficult it could be if left to our families during their most emotional days. And no one knows this better than my friends at Carmen Community Funeral Homes. For over 67 years, the Carmen family and staff have helped folks before, during, and after their time of need. Their pre-planning funeral directors can guide you through this entire process, from Medicaid Title 19 to veterans benefits, and from trusts and insurance funding to personal and meaningful funeral options. For your peace of mind and those of your loved ones, I want you to give my friends at Carmen Community Funeral Homes a call. 860-688-2200. 860-688-2200. Carmen Community Funeral Homes, with 8 locations in the greater Hartford area.
Brad, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Senator Joe Markley, and also we're going to chat with Ann Worcester. Ann is the tournament director for the big Connecticut Open coming up later in the month.
Great job, too.
In New Haven, does a superb job. Tom, so you also have talked to these kids as young as 8. You go to elementary schools. Where are the parents? What are the parents doing? What should the parents be doing?
I can tell you what we do in my house, and you know, I stand up there and preface it by saying, you know, this is my belief, and this is what my wife and I have decided for our kids, and what we, you know, talk to our kids about, and my nieces and nephews, and you know, people that we know, you know, within our family. You know, I don't like to lecture and stand up there and say this is absolutely 100% the way you should be doing this, because, again, my kids are 13, 11, and 8. I'm pretty sure we're doing it the right way. And I hope we are, but maybe we're not. You know, I mean, we're taking our best guess at this, and hopefully the way we're doing this is you know, effective. But what we see a lot, and what I see a lot, is kids who just get their phones, and it's kind of just handed off to them, and here's your phone, and you know, figure out how to use it, and you know, you're kind of on your own. And I'm not sure that parents and adults know enough about what they're putting up on social media. So there's different apps out there, and you know, kids trade, you know, at middle school and high school, kids trade nude pictures of each other, and they collect them, and it's become this thing where
you know,
they try to share them as much as possible. And we've seen it happen at a couple of towns in Connecticut, a town next to where I grew up in Rhode Island. It happened recently where kids were putting these photos into a Dropbox account, which is, you know, an online file sharing service. So we try to talk to the parents and let them know about what's happening and what's going on with their kids and with social media, and being able to talk to your kids, in my belief again, being able to talk to your kids about this and explain to them the dangers that come along with it is the most important thing that you can do as a parent. When I saw that picture come up over the weekend of the softball kids, the first thing I did was pull it up. Well, I found it, which was easy. So I found the picture, I pulled it up on my phone, and I pulled my 13 and 11-year-olds aside, and I said, hey, this is what I'm talking about, right? Because they've come with me. They sit in on these presentations. They've heard everything. They've each been to at least 2. My 8-year-old has been with me to a couple of them. They'll come with me again this fall when I go and speak places. But I slid the phone over, and I said, this is what I'm talking about, right? And we talk about every – now, I'm one guy in a 5-person household filled with women – One of our dogs is a girl too. We talk about everything. Okay, there's no secrets. There's no secrets at the house. We talk about everything. Maybe to their embarrassment, you know, maybe they don't like it. But I am straightforward and to the point because I think they need to understand this. You know, you can't pull any punches with them. You just have to let them know this is how it is. This is what's happening. And this is why you need to make good decisions every day so that you avoid a post like this. So that when somebody asks you to send them a nude picture, you say no. And you let somebody know that it happened. And you don't, you know, you don't succumb to the peer pressure. And you don't send that to them, you know, when they ask for it. So it's, you know, to me, it's about being honest. It's about sitting down and being able to have a conversation with your kids. And just knowing that, you know, my kids know that I'm not trying to be nosy. My kids know I'm doing it because I love them, because I care, and because I want to help them make better decisions. So it's not about being nosy and seeing what they're talking to their friends about and this and that, because I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. What I care about is that they make good decisions and that they're using their phones safely.
Yeah. 9:46 in the morning. A very special guest, Tom Pinsitz. Assistant Director of Athletics at Central Connecticut State University. But from Suffield on the line for our special guest, Pinsitz. Bob, good morning, good morning.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'd like to make some references on the computer age. And
well, not so much your opinion. Do you have a question for Tom?
Yes, I was going to ask him. Why is it that with all these, with all the technology that we have, in our educational system, like computers and all that, that according to a latest survey, you know, worldwide, we came in, I think, 27th out of 30 countries as far as math, linguistics, and I just wanted your opinion on that.
Well, that's not necessarily covering the ground that Tom is here. Maybe you have an opinion. I don't know.
I might have an opinion. It's a little bit beyond my realm and my... and what I deal with on a daily basis. So.
Sorry I gave you the wrong.
Yeah, Bob, thanks for the call. Now, parents, I'm guessing that parents need to be monitoring what their kids are doing on social media. Should they? That would seem obvious, right?
I would say yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I think monitor is it could be a tricky word.
Right.
You know, I think kids think that their parents are snooping and want to see everything that they're doing. Parents just want to make sure that their kids are being safe and making good decisions. The rule in my house is that we know the password to get into your phone. Well, it's my phone to begin with. They're just borrowing it. But
your phones.
Well, what I mean is that I pay for them. So they're my phones.
Yeah. Right. That's a key, though.
Yeah. So we're letting them use it. If I pick up the phone at any point in time and type in a password and it doesn't work, then we have a problem. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to change your password, I need to know about it.
Brad, final minutes with Tom Pinsitz, Assistant Director of Athletics at Central Connecticut State University. So do you have a big lineup of schools that you're already going to for the coming year?
I do. I have maybe a dozen or so presentations coming up in the fall, everything from middle schools to high schools to student athletes and parents. A lot of times schools they have their opening nights where they have to, you know, talk to the parents about different things. So the parents and student athletes will be there. So we'll piggyback on there. We'll do a couple of those, a couple different colleges in the area.
That ought to be fun.
And now it's even gotten to the point where it's some other colleges. For me, the hard part is fitting it into an already crazy schedule. Once our football team and women's soccer team is already back at CCSU and our volleyball team comes back in the morning. Today is actually headshot day today, which is a day long of just taking pictures and doing video and getting some social media content for our student athletes. So fitting it into my schedule isn't always the easiest thing to do. A lot of times it's, you know, after school, throwing my kids in the car and driving somewhere and having them sit through another presentation, which for me is fine. They might not like it as much, but, there's a bunch scheduled for the fall already and a lot of places that I'm going to go and talk. And unfortunately, there's always new material for me to talk about. Fortunately, a lot of school systems are taking the opportunity to sit down and educate these kids about making good decisions.
That's wonderful.
Social media.
How long is your presentation?
We usually go for about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Anything longer than that, and they lose interest.
Right.
You know, anything shorter than that, and I just don't think we can touch on everything we need to touch on. So, you know, I'll leave here and get in the car and drive back to work and think, like, oh, man, we didn't talk about this or that. Or, but usually about 40 to 45 minutes and then a full question and answer session after. It can go, you know, I've done as short as 15 minutes. I've gone as long as about an hour. But anything over that, it's just – people just lose interest.
But what a, you know something, Dan? Just to think that we got Tom here for an hour and touching something that people really don't talk a lot about.
Well, they
just
to.
Do it.
Well, it says, like you said before, it comes down to branding. And you're essentially branding yourself by what you put on social media, and it could hurt you down the road when you go for a job. Talk about that.
I'll tell you, we talk a lot about the negatives that go along with it, but there are positives, too. We had a student-athlete that played basketball in our conference who was an artist and, you know, drew a picture of a professional athlete and painted a picture of a professional athlete. And when he posted it on his social media account, he tagged that professional athlete in that post. Well, the professional athlete responded and talked to him and ended up buying the photo. And now he has this long waiting list of professional athletes who want him to paint pictures of them and put it out there. So
wow.
there's stories like that all over the place.
And that's a plus.
If you're a writer, you can create your own blog. If you're a musician, you can get yourself up on YouTube. If you're an artist, you can use Instagram. So the options and the potential and the opportunity out there because of social media is tremendous. And it's personal branding. It's getting your information out there. You know, it's sending a positive message and, again, making good decisions.
And you talk about that, too.
Absolutely, because you have to. You know, you have to show them that there can be some positives with this. If I stand up there and talk and say no for 45 minutes, it doesn't do any good. So this is, again, it's not a don't use social media talk or presentation. It's okay, here are the dangers that are associated with it. However, there are so many positives out there. And, you know, if you're somebody who's involved in community service and a college is interested in having you come, you know, to be a member of their university, and you apply there, and they go on your social media accounts and they look at it and they say, oh my goodness, look at everything that this person is doing for, you know, community service. Look at the organizations they're involved in. Look at the things they've started. Look at the drives they've started. Then, you know, that branding and that positive message that you're sending is, you know, is going to do you a world of good.
Now, I don't want to make your schedule any busier, but do you go and speak to businesses or human resources departments?
We're going to take a shot at doing that this fall. I'm going to work with the continuing
education program. That's so important, I think.
Yes.
Continuing education program at CCSU to offer that option, and it'll be different for me. You know, I'm used to, you know, big groups of, you know, 300, 400, 500 students at a time, but it's something that's out there. I'm learning more about it as we go along, and certainly going to be something that we add to the repertoire there.
Well, and I would hope they would listen, because we would like to think we're a second chance society, and maybe a student athlete or one even younger shouldn't be penalized for something that they'd put on years ago.
Well, I finish every presentation with the you know, you're absolutely going to make a mistake. Everyone is going to. I send emails all the time, and I think to myself after I hit send, like, what am I doing? Why did I send that email? Right? So everyone's going to make a mistake. So we talk about good decision-making, but if you make that mistake, you need to make good decisions after that point, too. And sometimes that means just asking for help, whether that's a parent, a school administrator, a teacher, a coach, a friend, asking somebody for help and not trying to take care of it yourself and making it worse.
Tom, I've never said this on the radio before, but I learned something this morning with you. No, it's not funny. I mean, seriously, sitting with you, listening to you, you learn. And that's number one.
Tomorrow morning we'll be following Brad on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, he opens up his Facebook account tomorrow. Any more questions, go to your website, takethisplayoff.com, right?
Absolutely.
Again, the website, takethisplayoff.com. Tom Pinson has been our guest. Tom, always
tremendous. Tremendous.
Thank you for having me, Brad. It was nice to meet you. I appreciate this. This was great.